Welcome to the Lioness Queen Podcast Season 2. Your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha, founder, speaker, author, spiritual coach, and licensed minister, provides motivating messages that will help you work through the emotional trauma from rejection and embrace the new year, new level, and new you. Now let's jump into your daily dose of letting go of the past and living totally residue free. Here's your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha. Welcome back, my Lioness Queens. Today is June 22nd, the fourth Tuesday in the month of June, and we are almost halfway through the year 2021. Welcome to the Lioness Queen Podcast. Our motto is being residue free, which is not allowing the residue from any negative events in our lives that hinder us from moving forward where God is leading and directing you. The name Lioness Queen stands for courage, hope, and faith. Although our goal is to help encourage women who have experienced the emotional trauma from divorce, all of our episodes encourage and empower women to live out their best life. Amen. I'm truly appreciative today for your support of the Lioness Queen Podcast, YouTube channel, and the I Am series, Women's Empowerment Session. Please don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you know who may need to be encouraged today. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, www.iamthelionessqueen.com. I have a residue-free journal, a 21-day residue-free journal from rejection, and also some cute mugs. I have some cute, I call them my Divalicious mugs that you can order as well. So check it out. All right, well, let's get into our episode today. And we are continuing. I am really loving this theme this month. The theme of God's got this. I'm telling you, it's really blessing me. I hope it's blessing you. But this week, we'll be talking about the fault in your perception, the fault in your or our perception. Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a poem or a quote to get our episode started. We love supporting other poets' creativity, and we are so honored to do so. And so I found this poem by Melora Johnson, and it is called A Fault in Our Perception. And so the poem states, exactly why do we meet those souls we become entangled with in life? Is there any rhyme or reason? Why do we spark to certain people while others give us a pause? We know the effect, but what's the cause? As humans, we experience everything in such a linear fashion. But what if it's just us? A fault in our perception? Or does perception make us who and what we are? I love this poem. Thank you so much, Miss Melora Johnson, for this, because it's never the problem, but the fault in our perception. I love the part where she said how as humans we experience in such a linear fashion. But what if it's just us, a fault in our perception? Or does perception make us who and what we are, right? I'm telling you, it blessed me. It caused me to think about some things. I was actually jogging last week and this week, and God has really been speaking to me about my perception. You know, if I'm believing that God's got this, right? There is some missing link. There is something is going on with my perception and what I perceive to be true. And if my perception is aligned with what really is true, or did my minute little fleshly mind taint what I was perceiving about what was going on in my life? So when I was thinking about it, I questioned that question, right? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever questioned what someone else questioned? You know, I was really trying to get to what God was really saying. When God or others, you know, even people, even friends, right, for that matter, see things in your life that you do not see, that you do not perceive, it makes you question, you know, how they are seeing what you don't see. How are they perceiving what you don't see? It makes you question what they are perceiving. And why is that, right? Like, why is what they are perceiving different, right, from what you are perceiving? And I must say, that's a big question for me. You know, I'm pretty sure you probably have had that question yourself. It's like, you know, I was thinking about this. If 100 people can go to a fine dining restaurant, right, and order the exact same meal and be there at the exact same time of day, eat the exact same food, have the same waitress, same waiter, look out the same window, and et cetera, right? But they all 100 people can perceive the restaurant differently, right? And so our perception is definitely different from the facts, right? Totally two separate things, although we want to combine them together, but they're two separate things. And so we all will have a perception based on our experience in that moment. But the question really lies in, was your perception truth, or was it tainted based on what didn't go right? which left you with a certain perception about the experience, right? And so this is, I'm telling you, this was some work God was doing in me, especially even thinking about it and going down this road and challenging my perception, let me say. And so I don't want to lose anyone, but I believe that there are faults in our perceptions based on our experiences, right? And so research defines the word perception as a set of unconscious processes that we internalize and enables our brains to make sense of stimuli and experiences we encounter. There's that word again, experiences. And so in a nutshell, it is how we interpret the stimuli that channels our perception in three ways. This was really deep when I was looking at it. Three ways. So the first way, it selects which stimuli it wants to hold on to, right? Second, it organizes the stimuli into categories. And lastly, it interprets the stimuli based on what makes sense to us. And so when I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, you know, I always love to do application, whether it is, you know, with me or some biblical character, I love to do application, because when you do application, it makes sense. It's easier to understand. And so I was thinking about Gideon, right? You know, although Gideon was one of the greatest judge of Israel, there was a fault in his perception. You know, and so let's try to break this down in the three ways that we talked about and how Gideon channeled his perception. So Gideon, you know, from the least of the least in terms of, he was the least of the least in terms of tribes, receives that call from God to take on the Midianites, right? A nomadic and huge group of people who depleted Israel's supplies. And so Gideon, when you research Gideon is often considered the poster boy for fear. That's who he was. When God first commanded him to rescue the Israelites, Gideon was hiding in a wine press to escape his enemies in Judges 6, right? And so when he first got the call That stimuli came into his mindset, came into that unconscious, and Gideon made some selections about what God said, right? And so what did he select? He perceived things that made him feel inadequate, made him feel unworthy, made him feel not good enough, you know, made him feel not strong enough, made him feel not wise enough, made him feel not enough to do the work that God called him to do. And that is what Gideon selected from the stimuli God gave him, from what God said. That's what he selected. And then it wasn't what God said that was the issue. It was how he perceived what God said. So then that led into what? How he organized that thing. How he categorized that thing. That's that second part, right? It was the fault in his perception. So then what Gideon did was he decided to categorize that stimuli in a way. And as he categorized it, that connected to why he selected what he selected. And so what categories do you think was organized, that he organized this information, right? Right. So Gideon categorized that stimuli into categories. He had fear, anxiety, and doubt, right? Which really covers, a multitude of other negative emotions and feelings that did not line up with the truth and what God said. God didn't say any of those things. God never mentioned fear. He never mentioned anxiety. He never mentioned doubt. But that is how Gideon organized that stimuli in his brain. It didn't line up, you know, but Gideon failed to believe that part because of the selection of stimuli. So he channeled how he perceived what God said. And then set them up into categories, very clear categories. And now based on this false reality, Gideon selected and how it was organized or categorized, right? How do you think it was interpreted? And so his perception illuminated fear. It illuminated the anxiety. It illuminated the doubt, which gave him a false view of reality, or should I say a false view of the truth. So as a result, Gideon felt, I can't do it. That's how he interpreted. I can't do that. I can't do that. See, Gideon saw only from what he had and didn't have, which made him select, categorize, and interpret truth in a way that caused him to limit, to restrict, and doubt what God was calling him to do. Because it was outside of what he knew. It was outside of his own resources. It was outside of his own experiences. And so as a result, Gideon kept testing God. And constantly needed proof. He constantly tested God by asking him to perform signs. You know, he asked God to consume an offering of food he presented to the angel. He petitioned God to send morning dew only on a piece of the fleece he had laid out. And it just went on and on. Gideon was afraid. But when he finally put his trust in God, when he finally had the right perception. And what is the right perception? It is walking by faith. When he finally started to walk by faith, not by sight, right? Then he was able to surrender, and the Israelites were freed from those 7 years of oppression. And so there will always be moments, you know, in our lives when it's just certain things we may not know. We may not have the resources, right? But see, God is trying to get you to see miracles, signs, and wonders outside of yourself, right? But it's challenging when our mind is so logical. It's so fleshly. where our brain shuts down every time when God is asking you to do something outside of what you can do in the natural. See, there will always be things and problems outside of ourselves that we need to perceive reality the way God perceives reality. He perceives reality from a supernatural lens. And so if you have fear, so be it, because we're humans, right? And it is an emotion that we can and may experience. And that's real. But what stimuli do you perceive from a certain event that caused a specific selection, a specific categorization, and an interpretation of the event? That's the question. But God wants you to move toward the fear. God wants you to surrender in the fear. God wants you to relinquish the fear. God wants you to push towards the fear. And most of all, acknowledge it. Sometimes we're even just afraid to acknowledge it, but God wants us to even acknowledge that fear. See, we live in a time when God wants us to do things we can't do, and it's okay. Because he's not asking you. There's no scripture in the Bible where God is asking you to do every single thing, because he didn't create us in that way. He wants us to perceive reality in a way that is outside of the natural realm and believe more in that supernatural realm. And he wants us to have that supernatural lens of where God is leading us, where he is taking us, where the word says your ladder shall be greater. So if your ladder shall be greater, then we should have that supernatural lens to perceive that our ladder shall be greater, because he is taking us somewhere. He is taking you somewhere, but we have to work on our faulty thinking. And so the only way to really challenge the fault in our perception. The first question you can ask yourself is, how does God perceive what you went through? How did he perceive what you went through? Do you even know? How does he supernaturally think about the event and what you went through? Let's just start right there. You know, so the other day I had a conversation with my co-pastor about my divorce. And, you know, I said something that just became a revelation to me, even while I said it. Like, I had never said it before. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And this is what, you know, it was an aha moment that really prompted this dialogue that I had with the Lord about my divorce. And so I said it out loud. It was divorce that really was the problem. But it really wasn't. It was how I perceived the divorce that became my problem, you know? And so when I said that, it was like, you know, really God started working in me and unfolding, you know, more of my residue, because it there will always be triggers, and there's always work to be done, to be cleaned. Right? That residue always needs to be clean. You know, y'all know we're trying to be residue free, right? That's the mantra, residue free. So when I said it, it was like God was trying to help me to understand. It wasn't what happened. It wasn't the divorce. It's how you perceive the divorce, baby girl, you know? And so it was my faulty perception that was the kicker. Right? It was the information I selected from the rejection. It was all of the negative emotions and the thoughts and the behaviors I characterized about what happened and about the divorce, right? And how I interpreted that rejection, you know, was, you know, I would say I would never. So for me, my interpretation was, I would never find anyone at my age. You know, when you're in your 40s, almost 50 years old, you're not going to find anybody. I interpreted, I would never fall in love again. I interpreted, all men are the same. I interpreted, you know, all the good men are taken, you know, and these are things that I interpreted based on my faulty perception about what happened. And it was all in how I perceived what happened. See, if you think about the spirit of manipulation, it's not what people do to you, but it's how you perceive what they did to you that creates this illusion of a reality that is channeled from pain, channeled from your hurt, channeled from you being rejected, channeled from the loss, channeled from the unfortunate event. You know, people, you know, they're not always good people in the world. Some people can be mean, cruel, vindictive, hateful, spiteful, evil, right? And they only want to plant seeds in a form of words. Just to play with how you perceive that stimuli of the event of what happened. Again, it wasn't the event. It was how you perceive the event. And so think about that for a moment in your situation right now. What are you dealing with right now in your life? If it's not the unfortunate event, that's the issue, right? It is how you perceive the unfortunate event. See, it's not the problem. It's how you perceive the problem. That is, I would say, the sifting effect. See, the enemy is always on assignment to try his best to sift us like wheat. So the only way that can happen is if he plants false realities, if he plants lies in our mindsets in a way that influences and poisons how we perceive what is true. So what are you perceiving today is faulty? What are you perceiving today that really doesn't line up with the word of God? What are you perceiving today that is not based on God's truth? What are you perceiving today that is not based in that supernatural realm from that supernatural lens that God has? See, when the disciples were on the boat in the storm, it wasn't the storm that was the issue. It was how they perceived the storm. If Jesus was knocked out asleep on a boat, snoring, I mean, knocked out. He wasn't awakened by the storm. He wasn't awakened by the waves. He wasn't awakened even by getting wet. He was knocked out on the boat in the storm while the storm was going on. Then if you think about it, why didn't that calm the disciples' fears a bit to know that if Jesus is who he says he is, and if he's calm, still asleep, not worried, why should we be? You know, no, that's not what they perceived, though. They perceived the storm and made perceptions, faulty perceptions, that their lives were in danger. Then they categorized the danger into fear, anxiety, worry, and ultimately interpreted the storm in a way that they would die. A false narrative that Jesus never intended to happen. Jesus had already told them that they would get to the other side. Let's go. That's what he said. Let's go. Let's get in the boat and go. We're going to the other side. They seen enough miracles. They seen enough signs and wonders. And so you would have thought that they would have had a perception of who Jesus was and what he can do even in his sleep. Because if he's that powerful to do something awake, he's still powerful to do something when he's asleep. I probably can preach on that, but that blessed me right there. But sometimes tests and trials are not based on what God can or cannot do. But God is always, because God always got this, right? That's what this theme is about for this month. God's got this, but it is based on how we perceive by faith and not by what we see in the natural, not what we see that is happening right in front of us. So don't get caught up like the disciples did, because Jesus got this and he's got you. That is the only perception God wants you to perceive, that no matter what trash the enemy tries to throw at you, who the Son sets free is free indeed, but only with the right perception. Check on what you are perceiving today. And see if it is aligning with God's supernatural realm and what he is doing through you, not to you. What is he doing in the storm, not from the storm? What is he doing in the midst of it all? Because it's not based on what you have, on what you got. It's not based on your resources, right? And so it's all based on what you perceive is true. See, Luke tells us that nothing is impossible with God. So stop blaming what people did. Stop blaming what happened on people. Stop blaming it on what they did, on what he did, or what she did. And realize that no matter what other people do, no one can stop the favor on your life. No one can stop the blessings God wants to pour out on you. So much so that you don't even have enough hands and feet to carry it all. No one can stop the promises of God because they were already yay and amen, even when you were in your mother's womb. Don't get me started, but just cut it out. Stop it with all this faulty perception. And that is what God was trying to get me to snap out of. Say that, snap out of it. I'm a snap out of it. Because it's the faulty perception that has us bound when God is trying to push us forward. The he, the she couldn't do more than what God allowed to happen. If he signed off on it from his desk, then obviously he knew, God knew. You had the courage, you had the hope, you had the faith to handle it. So you don't realize sometimes the things that we go through is because of the courage and the hope and the faith that you have, that you've had ever since you were in your mother's womb. It's more than you. It's bigger than you. It's not about you. This is more connected to your purpose. So it's time for us to get out of ourselves and perceive everything that happens from a lens, from a supernatural lens of faith, not from defeat. From a supernatural lens of faith, not despair. From a supernatural lens of faith, not denial. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Reverend Dr. Marisha, your Lioness Queen. Let's declare our weekly affirmation over our lives. Amen. And so repeat after me. I am a Lioness Queen. God wants me to rise up. He wants me to take my rightful place as the queen I am. He wants me to be residue free, intentional in my fight, stand on the word of God, realize I am a masterpiece. I am enough. I am a lioness queen with a purpose. Thank you for joining the Lioness Queen podcast. Please subscribe and write a review. You can find me on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even iHeartRadio. I would love to hear how this message empowered you. Come back next Tuesday at 3 p.m. for more from your Lioness Queen.